Ramsey TV.
Well, by golly, it is not every day when you get an email titled Japanese Porno Mag with Pauline Truth. Not every day. Japanese Porno Mag with Pauline Truth. Nope, this is a rare occurrence, so I'm going to investigate this matter as well as other important matters today with you on MZTV. Where else do you get this kind of truth and this kind of entertainment? At the same time, well, not at the same time, kind of like after I do the Japanese Porno Mag and the Pauline Truth therein, after that I will get into the topic of sanctification. Many of you in the Christian realm, when you were there, sanctification was a project. Yes, we have to have, we have salvation, justification, and then the third thing. Without this third step, you can't be right with God, sanctification. That's where the project begins. That's where you put on your sweatpants and your headbands and your wristbands and, okay, I'm ready for sanctification. You like warm up like you're ready to, you know, run the final 800 meters in the Olympics. Here comes the sanctification part. Well, I'm going to tell you, sanctification is something God has already done. Yeah, He's already sanctified you. Sanctification is merely the verb form of the Greek word hagion, which is translated as a noun, saint, and as an adjective, holy. That's right. Saint, holy, sanctified. It's all the same root word, and I wish, even the concordant version, I wish they had just made it all not so confusing. In other words, if hagion is the underlying Greek word, the noun is saint, then the verb would be sanctify. You could say sanctify. The adjective would be, so we get a noun. A noun is a saint. Let's do it this way. Let's say the word is holy. That's the word, holy. So instead of calling somebody a saint, I think that's the word I don't like. Call them a holy one, holy one. The adjective is holy, and the noun, the verb would be holy eyes. I holy eyes you. I'm not kidding. I am not kidding. It should be holy eyes. That way you have the same word all the way through, and you don't have the sanctification, saint, and holy. These sound like three different words, and they are in English, but they're all based on the same Greek word. This is why the concordant version is usually good, but here, I'm like, why did you... I think the Dvar translation does translate it with the same root word. I think the Dvar does say holy eyes for the verb form of hagion, holy eyes, and a holy one for the noun, and the adjective is, of course, holy. Why make one holy, one saint, and one sanctify if that's all the same root word? That's my point, and I think I made it. I stumbled a little bit at the beginning, but I worked my way through like the Grinch came down the chimney of the citizens of Whoville. I think this was the house of Cindy Lou Who. If you remember, the Grinch came down and he got stuck for a second. He got kind of bent in the chimney. Anybody with claustrophobia will look at that and go, ooh, you have to look away. But the Grinch corrected himself, came back down. That's what I just did there. Okay, I'm going to get into that whole Christian thing. I got a list of things that Christians do. I can cure with one great truth from the Apostle Paul. But first, ladies and gentlemen, an exclusive here on MZTV, I get a email. The subject line is Japanese Porno Mag with Pauline Truth. Now, this to me is fantastic because, as I've often told you, the most sinister Satan-possessed places on earth are Christian churches. That's where the mean demons are. That's where the badass demons are. Oh, speaking of ass, I'm going to get to that with the porno magazine. Okay, but anyway, you won't find them in the drinking establishments, in the female dancing establishments, in the gambling establishments. No, nobody fears God there. No one gets wrong ideas about God there. No one gets turned away from God there. In fact, in the department of the female dancing establishments, most people call upon God. It's like, oh my God, that's good. That's good because they're recognizing that behind the female body, one of the most glorious things ever created, there is God. Oh my God, it's perfect. Great truth there. people don't even know they're saying it. Just like this Japanese mag. Going to get to that. Yes, I love it that this magazine has Pauline Truth on the cover. If you can believe this, I'm going to show it to you with my own camera, point it at my computer. Okay, it's risky business because I can't see what I'm pointing at when I do it because I have to be on the email screen. And when I do that, I get away from this video screen, which I'm watching. Now I can see myself, make sure my collar's straight, make sure my hair looks terrible. Yep, all right, got it, okay. All right, are you ready for this? All right. Now, wish I could see what I was looking at. We got this Japanese porno magazine. I think it's called Gal. That's the name. I'm going to switch this around. Like I say, I bet if I toggle over. No, that's not going to work. I wonder what happens if I do toggle over while I'm doing this. I get some weird thing. That doesn't work. All right. I'm in Infinity. What the? If anybody's watching the kitchen cam, I've gone into Infinity here. I don't know how that happened. It's like an out-of-body experience. I'm going toward the light. This is a NDE. There we go. What's at the end? The third heaven? There's the third heaven right there. It's blue, for those of you who didn't know. All right, forget that. Let's go to the Japanese porno magazine. So this is called Gal Magazine, and there's a Japanese woman here. She is wearing a nice, like a red jumpsuit, but her ass is exposed. You can see a close-up. I'm trying to get a close-up of it. I can't see what I'm doing. She has a party horn in her ass, which is, maybe it's a cultural thing. I don't know. But anyway, look at the upper left. It says, "For the saving grace of God has appeared for all people." That is a salvation of all message. That is a salvation of all message on a Japanese porno magazine with a girl on the cover with a party horn in her ass. And it says, "For the saving grace of God has appeared for all people." It's a salvation of all message. But that's not all. But you have to get through an article called, let me go back here. In order to get there, I think you probably have to go to an article called Vagina Trip. I don't know what page number that is, but it's in English there, Vagina Trip. But you get down to the bottom right and it says, "May grace be with you all." That's how Paul introduces all his letters. The grace of God be with you all. The grace of God be with you all. So this is a phenomenon. And I thank my astute and observant reader. I didn't ask him how he came across the Japanese porno mag. It doesn't matter to me. So there it is. Now back to Christianity. And this terrible problem they have that they can't just let salvation go, do its wonderful work. They can't just let the beautiful truth of justification go. That is declared to be righteous by God. Just. God pronounces you just. That takes care of everything right there. But they have to go, now we have to get the third blessing. Well, for some Christians, the third blessing is you have to speak in tongues. But apparently, the third blessing is also, you gotta enter a program of sanctification. And sanctification is now you have to be perfect. Now you have to start a moral program where you make a chart of your sins and you keep track of them. And you check off all these wonderful things that you do. And as you do them, you're being sanctified. But God already sanctified you. Paul calls the Corinthians holy ones. A holy one, a saint, so-called in the concordant version, I'd rather say a holy one, one who is holy, one whom God has holyized, is separated unto God. That's what the word means, separated unto God. God has taken you for his personal use. You're his. You're set apart. That's what the word means, literally. Set apart. Set apart from what? From the world, from the rest of the people. And so a saint, a holy one, has nothing to do with whether you're behaving yourself or not. You might be behaving yourself. I hope you are. I would encourage all of you to behave yourselves. But I won't tell you to enter into a program where you're going to be constantly monitoring your flesh. This is death. That's a metaphor. This is death. This is a road leading to death, discouragement, and destruction. And we're not supposed to put our minds upon our flesh. You're not supposed to put your minds upon your sin. You're supposed to do the opposite. You're supposed to be consider your body to be dead. I'm going to get to that. That's the greatest truth that nobody knows. The greatest truth that nobody knows will solve all this sanctification problem. I'm not saying that if somebody is involved in some terrible sin, like adultery or murder or, you know, stealing from people, the obvious blatant sins. In a case of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Paul's dealing with prostitution. Prostitution simply means unlawful intercourse between the sexes, okay? And to understand what prostitution, it's not what we call today exchanging money for sex. That's not the prostitution in mind here. There was, because that was tolerated in Israel. There was another kind of prostitute. It was a different Hebrew word for it, and it was a cult prostitute. That is, it was a woman who brought you into worship of a false deity via sexual intercourse. You had sex with a cult prostitute, and it wasn't just, ooh, you know, you're getting a little thrill. No, oh no, you're being linked to another deity. It's idol worship, and it's using the most powerful force on earth to do it, sexual attraction. Putting these beautiful women out in front of the temples in Corinth, and especially the Corinthians were terrible at this. Well, what's wrong with a little cult prostitution? Well, a lot. Okay, so Paul, I'm not telling you that we shouldn't correct each other. In Corinth, of course, there was some guy having sex with his stepmother. All right, he was committing adultery with her because she was already married to his dad. Yeah. So, you know, Paul says, this isn't making the work look good. It isn't making the evangel look good. It's not making me look good. So just stop it. Stop it. Because it's grievous. Or somebody who's drunk all the time, they're staggering around and they're giving the truth a bad name because they're out of control. Okay? We need to correct that person. But that's not what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about programs. Not in some sin emergency where, whoa, 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 you got to quit that. No, we're talking about programs that you embark upon where you're constantly monitoring yourself. These have other names, according to a person who told me that when she was in the Christian world, they're catchphrases that Christians like to engage. They just love to concentrate on their flesh because they like to make a distinction between themselves. They're trying to please God, which is okay. Yeah, we're all trying to please God, but they're not trying to do it simply for pleasing God. They're trying to prove themselves to God. They have no sense whatsoever what justification is. They have no sense that they've already been made righteous by God. Even in this context where Paul is telling the Corinthians, like, or in this case, the Thessalonians, they were doing it too, don't go to the cult prostitutes. Don't let prostitution be named among you. He says this, he said, I want each of you to be aware of his own vessel, to be acquiring it in holiness, acquiring it. We acquired this vessel from God, 1 Corinthians 4:7. What do you have that you didn't acquire, that you didn't get? God has already sanctified us, holyized us. He's already done it. Now, Paul wants you to possess, to be acquiring your vessel in holiness. Come to an understanding that God has holyized you. He's already declared you righteous, so you can't screw that up by sinning. That's the thing nobody realizes. You can't screw up your calling by sinning. You can miss out of an allotment, an extra thingy thing, above and beyond salvation. But as far as aeonian life goes, no, you're justified. And God has made you, God has already called you holy. He's already declared you to be holy. He's declared you to be righteous. So Paul says, acquire that. In other words, come to understand that and behave like one who has already been justified. But they don't see it that way, the Christians. They don't behave themselves because they're already justified. No, their behavior, God's favor of them is dependent on their behavior because they all think they can probably lose their salvation somewhere along the line. And here's the catchphrases in Christianity. Beware of everything I'm going to read here. Beware of it. If you're anywhere near Christianity, God help you. I would rather you be, I've said this many times, I'd rather you be in a strip club or a bar drinking shots of Jose Cuervo. I'd rather you be there than in a church. Oh yes, much rather. Much, much rather. I don't want you to be committing adultery. I don't want you to be idolaters. I don't want you to be worshiping Baal Peor via the intercourse with a cult prostitute. Don't want you to do that. Don't. If I see anybody worshiping a false god via sexual intercourse with a cult prostitute, I will tell you to cease, and then I will tell you to desist. Okay? prayer. That sounds so innocent. Prayer. Yeah, well, of course we're supposed to pray unceasingly. The Spirit does that for us. We're supposed to make our requests known to God. No. This is not in Christianity. It's a prayer program. Every day you pray for your body to become holy. You pray that God would make you a moral person. You pray that God would make you perfect. Pray for your body, for yourself. It's all centered on self. This is a backhanded form of self-obsession. It's self-obsession. We're not supposed to be obsessed with self. We're supposed to be obsessed with Christ. We're supposed to be obsessed with the cross. Paul said, I came among you knowing nothing except Christ and Him crucified. He didn't say, I come among you knowing nothing except you people better be going into your closet every day and praying that God would make you perfect moral people. No, Paul says, possess your body in sanctification. Realize that you've already been set apart by God. He's already declared you righteous. So act like people who have been delivered into that glorious paradise. Because you're already there, now just act like you're already there. The Christians say you have to do this in order to get there. That's a major departure from truth. Deliverance. Oh, the deliverance ministries. Yeah, this is a code word in Christianity. When you hear, man, you need to get into deliverance. You need to get into deliverance. Oh, that means they want you to work on your flesh, concentrate on your sins, put up a chart with all your sins, and try to improve yourself. 6 weeks to a sinless vessel. Sanctification. Oh, yeah, it's all... Well, he's a sanctification preacher. What does that mean? He means he bothers you constantly. A sanctification preacher constantly on you. He's going to come in your house, see if you got any Japanese porno magazines hanging around, see if you got a beer in the cupboard. Make sure you're not watching any porn, whether it's Japanese, Chinese, or South American porn. Latin. Yeah, Latin women are, woo. Anyway... spiritual warfare. It sounds good because Paul talks about spiritual warfare. Oh, no. This is a Christian program where you're constantly concentrating on the battle. You're constantly, and to them, spiritual warfare isn't that Satan's attacking us through other people because we're members of the body of Christ. No. Spiritual warfare is you're battling with your flesh. This is bondage. The slaves, everything I'm mentioning here, people that do this, they're slaves of sin. I've told you many times, a slave of sin is not just someone who sins constantly, but someone who tries constantly not to sin. That's profound. Rewind it. I can't say it again because I'm... All right, I'll say it one more time. A slave of sin is... I'll say it in a slightly different way. A slave of sin is not only someone who's sinning like crazy, but it's someone who's trying like crazy not to sin. You're a slave of sin. Sorry. Mother Teresa was just a slave of sin as, name your famous sinner. Because she's thinking about it constantly.
I gotta make sure I don't sin.
That's Mother Teresa.
I gotta make sure I don't sin. I gotta wake up every day and pray. Check out my prayer chart. Mother Teresa.
Relationship with Jesus sounds good. We all want a relationship with Jesus, but these people concentrate on it every day. They don't realize that they're in the body of Christ. You're in the body of Christ. What are you doing? I got to make sure that my relationship with Jesus is right. It's already right. My God, you're in the body of Christ. What do you mean you're going to make sure your relationship with Jesus is right? You're part of His body. Just inhabit that. Inhabit that role. It's already been declared for you. Relationship with Jesus. Hearing from God. Oh, here's the other one. I need to go into my prayer closet and hear from God. Put all this together. Prayer. I need to go into my prayer closet and engage in spiritual warfare so that I can be sanctified, have a better relationship with Jesus, and maybe I'll hear from God. This is all BS. Healing the broken places. Oh, we got to heal the broken places. That is, you concentrate on all the shit inside of you, all these things that hurt you in the past, all these ghosts from your past, all these cobwebs, and you go in there and you dig into your flesh and you analyze them and you tear them apart. You put them under a microscope or you throw them far away and look at them with a telescope, and it's concentrating on flesh. It's self-worship. Get over yourself. Freaking get over yourself. Get over yourself. You're not that damn important. Okay, and then we got, what's another thing? Counseling, yeah. That counseling is what's supposed to heal the broken places. Now, I'm not, in some cases, I mean, it could be, I'm not saying that counseling isn't helpful. Perhaps I am saying that. In some times, maybe, I don't know, maybe you need somebody to help you get, but this is something that's required in in Christianity, and you're just not in a right relationship with Jesus if you're not constantly looking. I'm not talking about emergency situations. I'm talking about this ongoing wrestling match with yourself. Here's the truth as I finish today's show. Here's the truth that none of these people know. None of these people know. And many, some in the body of Christ don't even know it. Most of us do. Is that your old humanity was crucified with Christ. That's it. That's the greatest truth ever. Your old humanity was crucified with Christ. You no longer have to wrestle against the flesh. If in order to do any of this shit on this list, you have to dig up the old humanity. You have to dig up your old body. And start working on it. You have to just whip that corpse into shape. Does that sound like fun to you, to whip a corpse? What kind of result are you going to get from that? It's just self-absorption. It's creature worship. You're worshiping yourself. You're not attending to Christ. Jesus said, if your eye be single, then the entire body will be full of light. You don't start with a body. You don't start with trying to reform the body. You start with your eye. If your eye is single, your entire body will be luminous. That is, keep your eye upon Christ. I determined to know nothing among you except Christ and Him crucified. Be obsessed with that, and then by contemplating that, by a miracle of the grace of God operating in you and the Spirit of God operating in you, which has fruit, namely love, joy. I never think about my sins or my flesh. And because of that, I'm a good guy. I don't have these grievous sins in my life. Because I'm not concentrating on them. The people who concentrate on them end up going into them. It's a paradox. I keep my eye centered upon Christ. I'm not obligated to reform my flesh. I'm not obligated to concentrate on any of these things on this list. I'm not obligated to do anything. But because God has liberated me, I love Him because I don't have to earn my way into my salvation. I love Him because He's already declared me to be righteous before Him. I love Him. And that love and that infatuation with the one who delivered me, paradoxically, produces in me spiritual fruit. And I don't go around murdering people or engaging with cult prostitutes. And we won't get into the Japanese porno mag department.